experiences not only to give you talent or a healthy way to spend your time or a way to get a leg up to get into the college of your choice. God has given you these gifts to show you different expressions of love, different expressions of leadership, and different expressions of grace. He's chosen each of you to be a living example of his love and grace. You know, we tend to think of our lives in major chunks or stages that will get us to the next stage. We have crowning achievements in high school that go on a resume to get us into college, and then we have college experiences that go on a resume to get us our next job, and so on and so forth. And then we start building professional resumes for our adult lives. We're always focused on the next big thing. But there's another kind of resume, something that's more important than your professional resumes. It's one that continues to grow, not just at each life stage, but all the time. And that's our resume for God, our resume for life. You all started creating your resume for God on day one, the day that you came into this world and first locked eyes with your parents. That was your first moment of love. That was the first item that went down on your resume. And let me tell you, graduates, that resume for each and every one of you has grown exponentially since that first day. It's crammed full of amazing things. But let me also tell you this. That resume doesn't get put to rest at each life stage. It won't be replaced with another updated resume, not a newer version. No. This resume grows and grows and grows. It's limitless. It gets used all the time for the rest of your life. It might have some things on it that aren't instances that you're proud of or that you would want to share with anyone, but they're learning experiences. They're things that bring you closer to God, that teach you God's love and forgiveness, and in turn allow you to teach others the same. As you all head out into the world with new surroundings, new classes, new classmates, new friends, an unfamiliar distance between you and your family, your friends, and FBC, don't think of it as a departure from where you've been or what you've been doing. This is your next mission. This is your next mission for inspiring a new group of people. So keep doing what you've been doing and keep building your resume for God. Here are a few recommendations, my personal recommendations, of how you can do that while you're in school. Make friends with people other than your roommates and your classmates. Get to know the folks in your cafeteria by name and greet them with a smile. Ask them how their day is. Get out of your comfort zone every now and then. Call your parents just to say hello. Travel. Take spontaneous road trips. See things you've never seen before. Ask lots of questions. Don't try to grow up too fast. Make mistakes and reflect on what you've learned from them. Be confident. Maintain your senses of humor. Stay in touch with each other. And finally, no matter what, extend grace in everything that you do. Keep spreading God's love through your actions, your interests, your experiences, your questions, your answers, and through your own love. Keep building that resume with God and inspiring others around you to do the same. Godspeed, graduates.
Almighty fortress. If I do the math correct, this is the 37th year I've addressed the graduating class in my church. And this is the 25th year here in Lexington. But I want to tell you all something. I don't know that I've ever felt any closer to a class of graduates than I have you. You guys are special. And you know that. We've kind of grown up together, haven't we? See, I've known some of you from the day you were born. I've dedicated you. I've baptized all of you. All of you have had the opportunity, all 8 of you, to go to Belize. And after this summer, all 8 of you will have had the opportunity to go to Passport. That's just so great. Whitney, you did a super job. Thank you for providing the wisdom, because I think I'm just sort of too full. But I was thinking about, and we were talking about this morning, we were reminiscing about that first trip to Passport. And all of you were there, except Chris and Alec had not yet joined our flock. But The other 6, you all were there. We were baking and making, weren't we, Louie? Boy, we'll never forget that trip. It was a time that I think we really bonded so close together. That was the year of Mighty Moe and mattress surfing and duck. You like duck? And sweet little baby Jesus. And let's see, what else happened on that trip? Squirrels. I remember the worship services. We had a great worship leader that year, and it just kept getting better and better and better. And After the first couple of nights, we didn't even have to have a come to Jesus meeting anymore. We were just getting bonding very close together. And then we celebrated on the last day. We left Passport early. We went to Atlanta. We went to Six Flags. And we spent most all day at Six Flags. And Rachel got me to do something I said I'd never, ever do again, and that's get on the Great American Scream Machine. And do you know, after another 3 months of therapy, I'm going to be healed. I'm almost over that. It was just fantastic. We were on cloud nine. And then that night, we went to see the Braves play. And I wanted you all to have the big city experience. And so instead of driving to the stadium, I decided we'd take the MARTA. Remember that? And I know I scared you to death telling you that now, you know, we're in a big city. You've got to stay together. Don't talk to strangers. When we get to Five Points, everybody get off, because if you don't get off, you'll go on and we'll never find you again. I know, Courtney, you'll never forget that, will you? No, Courtney will never get on another subway as long as she lives because of that. And we went to the ball game, and we were giving Jackson a hard time because the Braves were playing the Red Sox, and Jackson was pulling for the Red Sox. And we just had a great time that night. And Joyce even told me that I didn't act my age, and I took that as a compliment. Because we were just having fun. Remember they put us on the big screen? Oh, it was just awesome. And then we got back to the station. We got ready to get in the van. And I had lost the keys. I lost the keys to the van. And somehow there were like 15 of us that got in Alan Bailey's car. Remember we had to fold Austin in like an accordion? We put him in, and we went to the hotel. And I have never felt as helpless in my life or as irresponsible. I just couldn't believe it. Louie can tell you, that was a bad night, wasn't it, Louie? Long night. We explored every option. We considered calling Tommy at 3 o'clock in the morning, asking him to bring us a set of keys. But we decided against it. John, we even thought about calling you, getting you to fly the keys down the next morning. I mean, we considered everything. But then I found a phone number and a guy that didn't speak English. And finally, I got this guy there. I think he was from the Taliban. I don't know where he came from. He could break into a van just like that. And he pulled out this little device, and about 5 minutes later, he had a key. And it was made of solid gold. Because when he presented me the bill that I had to pay in cash, I knew that it was a solid gold key. And I learned a lesson that night, and it was simply this: don't ever lose your keys. You guys have the keys. Savannah's scripture, Jesus said, I've given you the keys to the kingdom. The first key is your education. Your education is opening doors for you. You remember all those kids we've met in Belize, those young people that are just so wonderful that we work with? They will never have the opportunity that you all have right now. They just don't have it. You're at the point in your life where you can go anywhere you want to go. You can be anyone you want to be. There are more options. There are more possibilities. You have more potential right now than you ever will at any other point in your life. Your education is a key. There's a second key. The key is kindness, compassion. One thing that you have learned in this church, homeless shelter, at Passport, in Belize, is reaching out to the least of these, to the people that are on the bottom. wherever you go in life, whatever you accomplish, and I know that you all are going to accomplish great things, always be kind. Whitney talked about know the cafeteria, people in the cafeteria, know them by name, be kind. I've had the opportunity to deal with people who live in a homeless shelter and to know people who are the CEOs of billion-dollar corporations. And the one characteristic that is most important is kindness. When you were in Miss Gale's Sunday school class, and you remember you had to learn those Bible verses to get the eggs, I guarantee you one of the Bible verses you learned was, "Be ye kind one to another." And then the last thing, the last key, is don't ever lose your faith, your resume from God. When we were in Macon that first year, were any of you with me when we went to that little lady's house? Charlie, you were there. And we painted that lady's house. You remember the day the little lady came to the door and she prayed for us? Here we were, a bunch of almost 100% white middle-class kids from all over the southeastern United States, painting a lady's house who lived in poverty in Macon, Georgia, a most unprofessional painting, I might add. But here was a little lady who had nothing, and she could barely walk. And she called us all to come to the door, and we all gathered around like a hen would gather her chicks. And she prayed for these dear children. That, you talk about bacon and Macon, it was like 105 degrees in the shade. Problem was, there was no shade. You remember that? There wasn't a cloud in the sky. And this little lady said, "I can't come out and help you, but I'm going to be inside praying for you." You know what happened. We were out there working. Everybody was about to die. And I looked way off in the distance. I saw a little cloud. And I said, "She's inside praying for us." And we watched. And that cloud got closer, closer, and closer. And finally, just like that, we were all in the shade. And I looked up, and that one cloud was covering the sun. I'll never forget that. The lady who had nothing, but she didn't lose her faith. Don't ever lose your faith. Don't ever lose that resume from God. You all are very special. You know Joyce and I love you. You're like our own. We care about you. This whole church does. That's why this is such a very special service. There's a blessing. Before you were even formed, God knew you. While in your mother's womb, God named you. At your birth, God's breath filled you with life. And today we celebrate what you have become at this moment in time and what you will be by God's grace in the future. Amen.